Numbers chapter 35, and look at verse number 11 through 15. Just like we're studying in the tabernacle right now, in Sunday school, tabernacle is a type of the Lord Jesus. It's a type of salvation. There are many types in there. This morning's message is going to be a little unusual, and I'm going to preach, this is going to be a message of typology. And in Numbers 35, you have there the cities of refuge. Numbers 35 and Joshua chapter 20 are the two chapters dedicated for the cities of refuge. There's so many parts of this story, just like the tabernacle. There's so much that pictures salvation here in this story of the cities of refuge. There's so much that pictures salvation. When someone accidentally killed someone or committed manslaughter, not premeditated murder. Sometimes the illustration would be if they were chopping with an axe and that axe head was loose, and in the swinging of it, that axe head flew off and hit somebody in the head and killed them. It was not premeditated murder. It was manslaughter. And so they said, if somebody kills somebody unawares, didn't mean to, it was an accident, nothing premeditated, there would be a city where they could flee to, because the avenger of blood would normally be the family member. Some family member, whether it was a dad that was killed, the son would get upset. And rightfully so, but that person who killed someone unawares had to have a place to flee. And so God makes a place here in the Bible, gives cities of refuge, three on either side of Jordan, Galilee and the Jordan and the Dead Sea, three on this side, three on this side, six cities total. And you just didn't run to the city of refuge. And if you could, it's not like, so don't get the wrong picture here. It's not like if you accidentally killed somebody, or even if you killed somebody, if you could make it to a city of refuge, you got off scot-free. That wasn't what God was saying. God was saying if you could run to the city of refuge, then there would be a trial there of the elders, and they would hear the whole story. Then it would be declared, was this an act that was an accident, or was this premeditated? If it was premeditated murder, then the person was put to death, like they should have been. But if it was unawares, by the declaration of that council, that legal judgment that had to be made, then that person could stay in that city until the death of the high priest as a place of safety. That's why it was called a city of refuge. Well, there had to be a legal declaration made after that investigation, like I just told you. Well, the word justified, it means declared righteous or sinless in God's sight. The day you trusted Jesus as your Savior, God says that's when you were justified, or what? Declared righteous in the sight of God. That means God declared it. June 7, 1986, when I got on my knees and accepted Jesus as my Savior there in the bottom of the USS Trenton, LPD 14, when I was in the Marine Corps, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, God declared through heaven, Greg Nass is righteous! And I was justified. That same thing happened when you got saved. It was a legal declaration of the righteousness of God. That's being justified. Now, what day were you saved? Do you have it in your mind? Do you have the place where you were at when somebody showed you, maybe from the Bible, that you were a sinner and on your way to hell? Do you remember when you asked Jesus to save you and you placed your faith in His shed blood that He did for you on the cross? The moment you did that, God, in a legal declaration, justified you and declared you righteous in His sight. Sinless. In His sight. That's being justified. I know people say, oh, that's a big word. Well, wait a second. Think about this. God tells us in His Word, in Psalm 143, enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight, in God's sight, shall no man living be justified. Then in Job, he asked the question in Job 25:4, how can man be justified with God? God's so holy and we're such sinners. How can that happen? That seems something that is so far away. Then God tells us how. Can you take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 3? Go to Romans chapter 3. Watch this. I just want to just lay this as a little foundation for this morning. I got the privilege of singing with my kids the Cities of Refuge song. When I heard that song, I can't remember. I heard that the Cities of Refuge song when I got saved. That's a Kenny Calloway song. And I remember I was driving down the road on the way to college, and I just heard that. One day I ran to that City of Refuge. I had to pull my car over, and I was just crying. I was just thinking, that's talking about the day I got saved. One day I ran to that City of Refuge. And that song has meant a lot to me. I got to record that song, and then this morning I got the wonderful privilege of singing it with my kids, and that just means the world to me. But look at Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 24. Watch this. Watch this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's talking about when you get saved, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. That's why we say, yes, you trust the Lord Jesus, but what are you trusting about Jesus? That was God that was sacrificed on the cross, and it is His blood that can wash away your sin. It's faith in, yes, it's faith in the Lord Jesus, but it's faith, it plainly says that, faith in His blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then, look, now you're there in Romans, look at verse 28, chapter 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So praise God, there's nothing you can do to be saved. You're in Romans chapter 3, go to Romans chapter 5. Just looking at the word justified real quick, and then we'll get into the meat of the lesson here. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down there at verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified, saved. The word justified means saved. Now listen closely, I think you've heard this before, but it means if you're justified, you're made just as if I'd never sinned before God. So it's a neat way of remembering the word justified. You there at verse 9? It says, much more than being now justified or saved by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And then I'll just read you this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified or declared righteous by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You've heard me say it before, but it's so sad to hear somebody say, how do you know you're going to heaven? And then they say, well, I do this, or I go to church, or I've been baptized, or I do this. Ma'am, sir, that's what you do. Where's the blood? Your works can't wash away your sin or unbalance the scales. It takes blood, and without blood, you're going to die and go to hell. Please stop trusting what you've done and put your trust in the blood, in Jesus who died for you and shed His blood for you. That is salvation. That is salvation. Take your Bible and go to Joshua chapter 20. We've looked at Numbers 35. I want you to look at Joshua number 20. God says in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. The name of the Lord. And God says we're saved by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're there in Joshua chapter 20. Just listen closely. God says concerning these cities of refuge. Well, let's read in verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and that they may be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Well, who's the avenger of blood? Satan. It's a type of Satan, the avenger of blood. Who is it that if you don't get to Jesus is going to damn your soul? the devil will keep you deceived until you get to the city of refuge. The avenger of blood, who am I trying to outrun? Who is after me right now? Who's after you? Satan. So the avenger of blood, that's a type of the devil. Keep on looking at verse 4 there, ready? And when he that doth flee into one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gates of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. So, you killed somebody unawares. You didn't mean to. You were born a sinner. It's not what you do, it's what you are that damns your soul to hell. You were born that way. You had no say in the matter. In other words, I was born a sinner before God. That's me being the manslayer unawares. I had nothing to do with it. But that's what I am. That's what I am before God. And now I've got the avenger of blood, Satan, that's chasing me. And for me to get saved, I've got to go to this city. And it says when he gets outside the city, he's got to declare his cause. That's calling on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? So when he declares his cause, I was swinging an axe and the axe head fell off and hit this man and they're going to get me and I need, he's declaring his cause. What does it take to get saved? You have to declare what you are. You have to see that you're a sinner and that you're on your way to hell and that Jesus died for you. And when you declare your cause, call on the name of the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner and I need you, Jesus, because without you I'm going to go to hell. Or something this simple. What are the only two prayers in the Bible that ever saved anybody? Thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He recognized Jesus for being God who was dying for him. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. What's the other sinner's prayer? Remember the rich man, the Pharisee and the publican? Remember the publican praying how he smote his breast? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that day that man went to his house justified, declared righteous. Why? Because he saw he needed the Lord and he saw what he was. So this murderer unawares, this manslaughter, this person who killed somebody accidentally is declaring his cause. He's, like we do, calling on the name of the Lord. And then they let him into the city. There's still a trial to be held. Still a trial to be held. Then, keep on, look at verse number 5. Ready? And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then shall they not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest. That shall be in those days. Stop, just for a second. Do you know how long you're saved? As long as the high priest liveth. Who's our high priest? The Lord Jesus. And he ain't never going to die. The office isn't open. He's not taking applications. Amen. He's there forever. So how long am I saved? When I've declared my cause, I've entered into the city, they've held the trial, I've been declared righteous, and now, as long as that priest is alive, I'm in that city, I'm safe in Jesus, and Jesus isn't dying. That is a picture of salvation. The city of refuge. Those cities are types. For 2,000 furlongs, it says, you can read the rest of the chapter, but for 2,000 furlongs in any direction from each city, no dips, holes, big rocks could be in the road. The road had to be smooth and easy, right? Because it's simple to get saved. Amen? It's not your works that save you. Then, those cities on either side, three cities on each side of the Jordan, were always within a day's journey of each other. That's so that any person could, on their choice, make it to a city of refuge. Beautiful stories of salvation in those cities. Now, In looking at those, if I look it down at verse number 7, you're in Joshua chapter 20. So we've looked this morning on the cities of refuge as a picture of salvation. Look at verse 7. And look at the names of the cities. Watch this. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, here's the other three cities, Jordan by Jericho, eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. So these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Just like each city pictures salvation in Jesus Christ, each name of the cities of refuge also has a meaning. And you could look these up yourself. That's what the sermon is this morning. But the names of the cities also show God's plan for our life after we trust Jesus as our Savior. And that's what I'd like to show you this morning. It's so sad when someone is lost and doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They not only miss heaven and go to a devil's hell, but they're coughed up at the great white throne and cast alive into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are forever and ever. And if that isn't bad enough, one of the saddest things about a lost person is that they never get to know God's wonderful and beautiful and perfect plan for their life in this world. God has your life planned out before you were born. God has a plan and a path for your life. Scripture would be, we live our lives as a tale that is told. Who told the tale? God's will. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. God plans on every person. God wants everybody saved. Amen? And when somebody doesn't get saved, one of the saddest part is they never get in tune with God, and then they totally miss God's beautiful plan for their life. And then they look back on their life at the end and they go, the man that taught me soul winning, Leroy Bowron, he'd cry every time he said, I was in Vietnam War and our security clearance. He said, the things we were doing in the plane, he said, I couldn't talk about it. He said, it destroyed my marriage. He said, I was 40 years old when I got saved. And Leroy would look at me with tears and he would always say, I have lived such a wasted life. And man, when that man went to lead people to the Lord, nobody knew, honestly, the man knew the Bible. He was a wonderful soul winner. But he was running from a wasted life. From a life, he said, my life didn't make sense until I got saved. He said at age 40. Well, the Bible does say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you'll acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and trust Him with all your heart, He will guide you. Now let's look at these cities here. Do you see verse 8 there? It says, on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness. What does Bezer mean? Look up the word Bezer. Look, what does the name Bezer mean? It means our salvation. It means our salvation. One of the cities of refuge, one of them, one of the six, meant salvation. Every person on this planet has to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I love Acts 4:12. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, you know, you have this way, and you know, in this culture they have this way, and then in this culture, every person on the planet is saved the same way, or they're deceived by the devil. They're deceived by the devil. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, the American Indian, you know, when they look, their totem pole, if they didn't get, it was a false religion. It was demonic. I don't care if it's in Russia or Japan or Africa or South America or American Indian. It was all cultic. You understand? There were demons being worshipped. And it was all the way back then. the drum beat put them in a trance. The drugs were taken so that they can contact the spirits. And the moment they were possessed, then the immorality began. And that goes back for the rock and roll, the drugs, and the sex. That goes back a long ways. It's the occultic atmosphere has always had those three ingredients. You say, well, that's cultural. Wait a second. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what I like reading? I was reading as far as, they said when they would bring the slaves over here to America. You know, all of them weren't mistreated. That needs to be said. I'm not for slavery, okay? I'm not for slavery. But they did say, there were some reports where they said, had we not been brought to America, we would have never been introduced to the Lord Jesus. We would still be in our heathen land eating each other. Now, I'm not, don't take me wrong now. The preacher said, I'm not for slavery, okay? And by the way, God's not either. He regulates it in such a way in the Bible that he made it extremely difficult. If you were in Bible times, you didn't want to own a slave. You could, but in 7 years you had to let them go. Amen? Amen? No, Islam and Christianity are totally different. Let's go back to the Bible here. Ready? Here we go. So, Bezer, ready? There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right? That means Bezer was in the wilderness. It plainly says that in the text. Man is born in a wilderness of sin. We're born wicked and vile sinners. We're born dead in trespasses and sins, and we're contemptible in the sight of God. Listen closely. We aren't just not as good as someone else. And it's not just that, well, we've erred. No, sir. Inside and outside, we can produce nothing that is good or profitable or righteous or pleasing in the sight of God. Bezer rested on a plateau. That means, I would say, all right, just like there's a great distance between the plateau and the ground, then there is also a distance between us and God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. The only thing that elevates me to the righteousness of God that God requires is the Lord Jesus when I place my faith in Him on salvation, not baptism, not church membership. When I get saved, God robes me and enshrouds me in His righteousness. Because I have no righteousness, God imputes His righteousness on my account when I place my faith in Christ. So, here we go. Bezer has shown that all men are born in the wilderness of sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. And God is high and lifted up. And for anybody to get to heaven, the Lord must give them His righteousness or they have no hope in heaven. Bezer, all right? It means our salvation. Now, let's look at the next one. Look at Joshua chapter 20. Look at verse 7 again. And they appointed Kadesh. Now I'm just going to take these six cities and just give you a definition and try to show you how it likens what the cities of refuge show Jesus as our salvation. I think we see that this morning. Then each city, there's an order that God shows. Once you get saved, there's a plan that God has for your life that is shown by each of the cities. What's Kadesh mean? Kadesh means our sanctuary. Our sanctuary, our place of safety. Listen closely. Once you get saved, your place of safety is the local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. You used to be a fish, right? Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, right? So before I got saved, I was a fish. Then when I trusted Jesus, I became a sheep, okay? And there's nothing flattering about that because sheep are stupid. So I went from being a fish to a sheep. All right. And now every sheep, if you're saved, you're a sheep. And sheep need a fold or sheep get eaten. Look, you send a cow. If a cow gets loose, a cow comes back. A horse, put a horse in a field. If the horse gets over the fence, the horse will come back. You put sheep in a field, if they get out, they don't come back. They're too stupid. They'll come right to the bottom of the fold road. They will bleat until they die, until the shepherd goes gets them. Come on, meathead. You know? Isn't that a blessing? Sheep are stupid. So now, the only thing that helps me with that is fish are dumber. Okay, fish are dumber than sheep. So I used to be really stupid. Then when Jesus saved me, I become a sheep. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I am trying to say this morning. If you're a sheep and you're saved, you're supposed to be in a fold. You're supposed to be in church. Christians belong in church. You should be glad to be assembled with the family of God and the saints of God, hearing the singing of the people of God under the preaching of the Word of God. When God saves you, He means for you to attach yourself to an old-fashioned Bible preaching Baptist church where you can learn the Word of God and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If you're a saved child of God, can I just tell you this morning, look, I'm preaching now. I love you. I'm for you, but let me preach. You better get in church. You better get in church. Your kids are left to the wind, and it is just a gamble like rolling the dice if you don't get help, if you don't help your kids get in church and be faithful. You know, my dad got saved when I was 6. From that time on, when we went to church, you were there a half hour earlier, you were late. Nothing would make my dad, as a matter of fact, when my dad said get out of bed, that was it. You wanted the earth to quake, go ahead and stay in bed. You were in for a rude awakening. I never tried it. I every time I thought about it, my life would pass before my eyes. Okay. But when Dad said get out of bed, you got out of bed. And then when we went to church, nothing would infuriate my dad more than having to wait when it was time to go to church. You know why? Because church was important. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I was raised. I remember hearing one family say, it was a family of 13 kids in the family. It was a January morning. The family vehicle broke down. The only thing that was left was, and it was 4 foot of snow on the ground, and they had a four-wheel drive pickup. I remember those kids, 13 kids in that family, saying, we'll never forget that morning. Dad said, okay, family vehicles broke down. We're taking the pickup this morning. He said, I'll take the boys first. You guys grab your blankets, get in the back of the pickup. And he said, Dad, put that thing in four-wheel drive. And he said, and it took us an hour to get to church that morning. In that snow, Dad dropped us off. We went in. Dad drove back an hour, picked up Mom and the girls, drove them. That was 4 hours to get to church. You know what those? It was indelibly imprinted in those kids' head? Whatever it takes, you go to church. Amen. They never forgot it. They watched Mom and Dad sacrifice. Guess how long it took to get everybody home that day after church? 4 hours. And what they didn't tell you was there was only them and two other families that morning in church because the snow was 4 foot deep. They never forgot that. And your kids don't forget the sacrifices you make either. They watch. Well, we're going to do this instead of go to church. You're teaching them. They're logging it. Trust me, it's going in the mind. Don't just attend church. Attach yourself. Go and get yourself under the authority of that which Jesus shed His blood for. The local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist Church. The word Kadesh, it means our sanctuary. Kadesh is called earlier Mishpat. It means spring of judgment. The only requirement, because it means a spring, the only requirement for church membership is being saved by grace and baptism by immersion. So when you get saved, you're supposed to get in church. To join that church, you need to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. The first step every believer needs to take to grow in the Lord is to get baptized in deep water. It needs to be deep water, under the water, one time backward in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, not sprinkled. Not poured, splashed, or water slided it. Not three times forward. Not to get saved or to help you get saved or to keep you saved. If it's not scriptural baptism, it's not scriptural baptism after you get saved at the hand of an authoritative church, then it's not scriptural baptism. The first step in testifying Jesus saved me is getting baptized. Look, do you realize there were no baptistries? There were no baptistries in the Bible. You know where people got baptized? Either in the river or a public fountain. It was intended as a public display. You know what they were showing? I'm standing in the water. I've trusted Jesus who died for me. I go under the water. I believe Jesus died for me. And I come out of the water and I picture Jesus rose again from me. That's it. It was a public display. Can you get baptized in private? Yes, you can. But you do need to know something. In the Bible, there were no baptistries where just Christians watched, right? We're just Christians, right? If somebody follows the Lord and believes baptism, that's wonderful. But in the Bible, you did it in public, in front of everybody. Do you understand? And it was a testimony saying, I've been saved and I want the whole world to know. Kadesh means sanctuary and it meant a spring. So, baptism, just this morning, we'll move on to the next city. Just listen to me. Baptism is not a light issue. Baptism is one third of the Great Commission. We're to teach, baptize, and then we're supposed to gather together assemblies and teach them all things. Baptism is very important because it's right in the middle. It's the center of the Great Commission. Now, look at Joshua. Let's look at the next city, Joshua chapter 20. So he said, Bezer, however you want to say it, Bezer, that means our salvation. Kadesh means our sanctuary, our place of safety and protection. That's the church. Look at the next city. It says here in verse number 7, it says Shechem in Mount Ephraim. What's the word Shechem mean? It means our strength. Our strength. The place of burden between the shoulders. That's what the word Shechem meant. It was a walled town. So what is this strength that I'm going to spiritualize this morning? I've spiritualized all of this as a typology sermon, but just listen. It means the growth and the strengthening that takes place in the life of a believer in the local New Testament church. Ephesians chapter 4 says, he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints. I'm not finished growing in the Lord. But I was given by God to this church for the growth of these people. And you know who's growing here? All of us. I'm growing too. Amen? I've not arrived. I'm not a finished product. But I'm supposed to preach things that grow you and mature you spiritually. It's not, church is, okay, done, poof, gone. I hope you enjoy each other's fellowship. I hope you enjoy each other. We're supposed to, okay? It's not supposed to be blah, 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 and then we're out of here. It's supposed to be a time of growth. That's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4. Our growth, strengthening, and maturing is supposed to take place in the local church. Not in home Bible studies, not on, I made mention of this in Sunday school, not on the internet or cloud or YouTube churches or any other mystical body or parachurch organization. There's no spiritual growth outside of the local New Testament church. It's in the church that we serve together. Listen, that we work for missions together, that we fight the devil together, that we hear preaching together, that we work through problems together, that we pray together, that we learn together. That happens in church. And through it, we grow. We grow. God's plan is clear all through the Bible. Look, I'm preaching on the cities of refuge this morning, but any Christian that's been saved any length of time could tell you this morning, I could preach this sermon out of about 200 other texts. Do you understand? That's how basic this is. You get saved, you get in church, amen, by following the Lord and believers' baptism, and then you stay in church and you serve together. Would you like to know the next basic plan? Ready? Let's look at another city here, because I'm watching the time. Ready? Look at Joshua chapter 20, look at verse 7, look at the last part, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah. Hebron means our fellowship. It's a town, Hebron was a town in the hill country of Judah, and it was originally Kirjath-Arba, which was the city that Abraham's wife Sarah died in. The alternate meaning of Hebron was a city of four, because it was four small towns put together. I don't mean to oversimplify everything in the Bible this morning. Just listen to me. Everything in the Bible can be categorized in two ways. It's either how to love God or how to love your brother. It's either how to treat God or how to treat people. But that you could break the whole Bible down into two parts. And the Ten Commandments are broken down into two tables. The first table is how you love God, and the second table is how you love your neighbor. Don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. That's all. In other words, it's very simple. You say, why are you saying that? All of the problems that we encounter with each other, listen, are supposed to be learned from, not run from. As a pastor, I watch people join churches or get in church, and everything's fine until a problem's exposed. Then when a problem's exposed, it's time to go to another church. Look, myself included, every person in this building right now represents a problem. There's nothing that boosts the ego over what I just said. All of us got issues. And if we hang around long each other enough, and if we serve with each other enough, we're going to find out each other's issues. And you know how many people I've watched leave a church because it's like, oh no, they found out I did something wrong. Well, why don't you yield to the Holy Spirit and learn from it? And why don't we learn from dealing with each other and get stronger and learn how to love through each other's failures and shortcomings? I'm going to fail you someday. Well, no, if. It's not if. It's when. We're human. This is the Lord's church. You're God's people. That's God's book. What are you going to do when that day happens? We're not supposed to run. Now watch this. I'm not talking about covering sin. I'm not talking about that. But I think you understand what I'm saying this morning. The word Hebron, it means our fellowship. Our fellowship is first with God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. When you get saved, God comes into your life and there is a relationship and a fellowship that God expects you to cultivate and enjoy. Then, as you spend time with God, God rubs off on you and you start loving what God loves, His people. Well, I like church, I just hate everybody there. If you'll spend time with God, you'll start loving God's people like God does. And God loves you in spite of your failures. Well, there's just, you know, here's the classic statement. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Just a bunch of hypocrites. Did you know all of us are hypocrites? You know what a hypocrite means? It means somebody who puts a fake face. I'm trying to be like Jesus. And I'm going to fail. And I don't know how you can be a successful Christian. Now watch this. I know what they're talking about. They use good to cover up wrong. I understand that. But I'm trying every day to yield to the Holy Spirit and be someone I'm not. Right? And I don't know how you can be a successful Christian without doing that. I don't know how you can be a successful Christian without attempting and then dealing with your failure. I failed. I did not act like Jesus did. I didn't talk like Jesus did. I didn't act like... I failed. Well, good. Then you learn to get up and you say, I'm sorry, and you learn to keep on marching. You don't quit. It's part of the Christian life. Just a bunch of hypocrites. I hope our people at Gospel Light Baptist Church are the right type of hypocrites. Let's look at one more city here. Ready? We got two more cities to look at. Look at Joshua chapter 20, verse number 8. Ready? And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben and Ramoth in Gilead. What does the word Ramoth mean? It means our salvation. It means the high places or heights. It was a town in Issachar. Every person who places their faith in Jesus Christ is going to one day be elevated to heaven, and it's either going to be by rapture or it's going to be by death. Our hope for heaven and being with Jesus one day is supposed to purify us. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. It's that longing for heaven. Ramoth means our elevation. One day I'm going home. I have to deal with problems, my own failures, and my flesh. But one day I'm looking forward to my elevation. These cities of refuge show God's plan for every Christian when you get saved. Look, heaven's supposed to be a comfort to every Christian in here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christian, heaven's supposed to be one of your comforts. I'm not suicidal. I'm just glad that if anything happens to me tomorrow, I don't know when I'm going. Amen? Nobody in here does, but I do know this. When Jesus calls, I know He's got a place prepared for me in heaven, and I'm going to be what? Elevated. That's supposed to be our comfort. Let's look at the last city. Look at verse number 8. At the end there, it says, "And Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh." What does Golan mean? Golan means our joy. Our joy. Golan. It was a city in Bashan with a territory of half the tribe of Manasseh east of Jordan. I'm just going to say this morning, as a Christian, we ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Joy is internal. Happening is external from happenings. Joy is something God gives you. You say, where do you get that joy, preacher? Romans 15:13. Now it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." True joy comes from within and has nothing to do with your circumstances. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Then how come you're not happy, Christian? I didn't say you got to be zippity-doo-dah all the time and giddy. I'm just saying when you're miserable all the time and there's no joy, that's your fault. That's not God's plan for your life. Well, I just got to take these drugs, and I got to get more. Antidepressants are everywhere, and it's sad. I'm watching people get hooked on, a lot of stuff. I'm watching Christians with six-digit incomes get addicted to drugs, narcotics. It's all over America. It's not just local. It's everywhere. If you doubt me, see Brother Eric. He throws them in little bottles across the room. Okay, if you weren't there, we were in Sunday school for that. But he'll tell you it's a problem. I see it as a pastor. It's huge. Does anybody not yield to the Holy Spirit? In other words, if you've got a heartache this morning and a burden, I'm done. But if you've got a heartache this morning and a burden, did you know you can go through that heartache and burden and still have joy? You don't have to be depressed. Amen? You can have joy. You say, where's that come from? I'll just tell you this. That joy is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Plainly says that in Romans chapter 5. The joy that is shed abroad. This morning, I tried to cover, I know I went a little over. I covered Bezer. It means our salvation. Kadesh means our sanctuary, our place of safety. Hebron means our fellowship. That's what happens after we get saved now and we get in church. Shechem is our strength. It's the strength that's provided as we stay in church. And Ramoth is our elevation and Golan is our joy. This morning's message is titled, Run to the City of Refuge. Run to the City of Refuge. Let's pray. Father, please, I wish that we could use this truth this morning on this Independence Weekend where we celebrate our nation. You've given us all the freedom to live for You.